Hello, and welcome to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Campus Bible Study is the Christian University group based at the University of New South Wales. We seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all, and hope that these weekly podcasts are an edifying encouragement to you, wherever you are tuning in from.
G'day everyone, my name's Nathan, I'm here with Carl again. Welcome back to the Campus Bible Study podcast for week 4 of term 3. It's been another great week. We've had Mandarin Mark drama. We've had people becoming Christians. It's been good to see mission continuing throughout the term. But we're here to think about Matthew 6, 1 to 18 today, particularly the Lord's Prayer. Good to have you here, Carl.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. Nice to be here with you. And it has been exciting to be involved in the Heightened Mission, hasn't it? I've been reading the Bible with a guy that I met at the first talk.
Oh, nice.
And it's just been a real joy to... We're going through Romans with him, which I wouldn't normally do with a normal newcomer, but this guy's pretty unique. One of the big things that got him questioning about Jesus was actually reading a book called Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. And so he's quite a reader, so I thought I'd take him into the Book of Romans. I think he can cope with it.
Look, Carl, you love your guys that aren't normal, so I think this is one of your favourite one-to-ones you've ever had. Anyway, we should look at the Lord's Prayer. We'll start off with a question from Zoe from the ADA faculty. So she's asked a question about verse 1, and I'll read it out. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." So she's asked, what is the reward? Is it our salvation? And do we already have the reward then?
Yeah, and well, I think it's perhaps even more easy to see in verse 2. So I'll keep reading. "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." So what have they received? I think all they've received is the praise of others. So in a sense, you can settle for the praise of others as your great reward.
Yeah.
Or there is a reward in the kingdom of heaven for those who will not settle just for the praise of others. So I think that's the best way to understand it. I'm going to speak this week about, I think the reward actually is the kingdom of heaven. And, well, you can look forward to that in the talk that will come out.
Yeah, I can see how you might get there later on.
Yeah, but it's either the kingdom of heaven or the praise of men. It seems to be what's on view as the possible rewards for certain behaviours from that Jesus is talking about here.
Yeah, great. Keen to hear more about that this week. Zach from CSE has asked a question, particularly about verse 12 and verse 14, 15. Verse 12 is a part of the Lord's Prayer, which talks about forgiving us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And you kind of talked about how that seems to be in the wrong order.
Yep.
But then he talked about verse 14 and 15, and I'll read it. It says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So he says, he asks, is the first part in the Lord's Prayer written that way because Jesus is yet to die and rise again? And verse 14 to 15 seems to provide a different reason.
Yep. So in a nutshell, I said in the sermon that it looks like the wrong order for us because in a sense, we're still before the cross in Matthew 6. And we're looking forward. Perhaps the disciples can only look forward in hope to the forgiveness that will come through the cross. And while they're looking forward in hope, they should pray that God would forgive them as they are trying to forgive those who sin against them. And that's the logic also down in verses 14 and 15. I'll just read those verses. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So this is completely in line with what I was saying about the whole Sermon on the Mount, is that it's not Christian gospel at this point. It's Jesus addressing Jewish people with their, in a sense, their Jewish law-focused way of relating at this point. The gospel, the cross, is going to bring a whole new way of relating to God. And Jewish people were looking forward to that, But at this point, in a sense, Jesus says, what does the law say? Well, you want forgiveness, you forgive others. And I think it reminds us that this is not a... Jesus is not setting up a Christian way of relating in this sermon. He's speaking to Jewish people about where they're at before the cross. After the cross, it will be completely different. Your forgiveness from God does not depend on your ability to forgive other people in the Christian gospel. That is not Christian.
Which is the joy of the cross, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't depend on us.
Because I'm going to struggle to always forgive everyone.
Mm.
And God in his kindness through the cross offers forgiveness to all people who repent, even if they struggle to forgive others.
Which also, I think, it doesn't then lead us to, we're absolved of responsibility.
No.
But it doesn't affect our salvation.
That's right.
And which was the key of Zach's question, I think.
That's right. And so therefore, how does forgiveness flow out of the gospel? It flows out as the forgiven person with God's spirit at work in them wants to emulate their God and forgive those who have wronged them.
Yeah.
And so in a sense, we're back to the right order, aren't we?
Yeah. We're getting there. It's nice and confusing for us. Matt from Science has asked a question. Talking about how the Lord's Prayer in the Bible is different to the one we pray in church. Often for a lot of us in churches, we pray the Lord's Prayer.
Yep, there's just a couple of lines added on at the end in the church. Yep.
And
they're good lines.
Yeah. And he's asked, why are the last lines added and should we change how we interpret with the added words to the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I've been thinking about this in my head because what are the added words? They are... For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, talking to God, now and forever. So the rest of the Lord's Prayer that's in Matthew's Gospel is saying, your kingdom come, it's a future thing, your will be done. And then you get these last added on lines that are making it a present reality for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now.
Which is interesting because I've never realized that before.
Yeah,
that it was different now as in the Lord's Prayer.
You can almost see how a post-cross Christian would need to add those lines to make it, its tense gel with the post-cross tense of reality. So it kind of, if anything, I think it backs up my theory that we are pre-cross and therefore the Lord's Prayer is a pre-cross prayer for the cross to bring about these realities. And when it goes into the early church says, hey, some of this stuff's already happened. How are we going to acknowledge that? And wouldn't surprise me if those extra lines were an acknowledgement of
that. Yeah, interesting. Maybe you're not such a revolutionary thinker after all, Carl.
Oh dear. Never want to be a revolutionary.
And then final question for the day. Margaret from ADA has asked a question, which I think particularly related to your last point, where you talked about how our prayers are often driven by our desires and you challenged us to think about what we're praying and how we're praying it. But she's asked a question, should we feel ashamed of our prayers? If they reveal the desires of our hearts, how do we balance that with praying for everything?
Yeah. What a perceptive question. Thank you for asking it, Margaret. Yes, I think at times we should feel ashamed of our prayers because in our sin, we don't always have noble motives for praying even. We pray based on ourselves. We pray selfishly. We pray. We are fallible human beings who don't always pray what we should. And isn't it great that God forgives us through the death of Jesus in our place? So even our prayers, we don't always get right. This is why it's great, isn't it, in Romans, where Paul says that the Holy Spirit, chapter 8, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with kind of wordless grunts almost, is the kind of Greek behind Romans 8 at that point. So even though we don't pray perfect prayers, God's Spirit at work in our lives can perfect the prayers because God's Spirit knows what we need. So yes, I think there are times when we should feel ashamed of what we pray for. And therefore we should repent and try to keep growing in our generosity of prayer and in our gospel-focused prayer and our prayer that aligns with what our God wants to do in his world.
And how do we continue working at praying that way?
Yes, I think we need to keep learning what God's plan for our world is. So that's why we read the Bible. We keep growing in understanding his will. And so we seek to pray in accordance with his will. Because his will is what's good for our lives. Our will isn't always good for our lives. His will is. And so we need to learn from God's word more about his will. And then we need to pray that God would shape our lives according to his will and pray in accordance with his will. Mm. So these are great things to grow in. Don't put yourself down if you're struggling there at the moment. Mm. Just keep growing. Keep repenting and keep learning about your God and his will for your life more and more, and keep seeking to grow to be more like your Father in heaven, even in your prayers.
Thanks, Carl. Well, on that note, why don't I close in prayer?
Thank you. That'd be great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are, that despite our sin, we are forgiven by you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for sending him to take the punishment for us. We pray that this would shape our whole lives. We pray this would shape our prayers. We pray that we'd remember that because of this, our salvation doesn't rely on us, but is reliant on Jesus. We pray that we would seek to live holy lives because of what Jesus has done in light of the new life you've called us to. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Carl. See you next week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Campus Bible Study podcast this week. Please make sure you are subscribed on your regular podcasting app. You can get in contact with us at campusbiblestudy.org. There, you can also find details about upcoming events and information about partnering with our ministry, both prayerfully and financially.